Hello, I'm James, and I've loved Seinfeld ever since it was part of the BBC Two's late night lineup in the 1990s.
Hello, I'm Steve. I also experienced Seinfeld in the same time slot, except I greeted it with great indifference and only watched the first episode.
But together, we're going to watch the entire Seinfeld series in a show that we call Hello, Newman. Which episode is this?
ten, I think.
Yeah, 10. That sounds right.
Yeah, 10. I'm sure it's 10.
It is 10. All right. Hello, welcome to the 10th. Hello, Newman.
Hello.
I won't reprise, Steve, what I've previously said. We're watching Seinfeld on Amazon.
On the Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime. And you can watch along with us if you want, if you've got the Amazon Prime.
Or the DVD, or some other means, I guess.
If you've got the DVDs, though, you're going to have to be like mixing up the audio watching.
Oh, yeah, because season two is a bit weird, yeah. We have covered that.
It's going to get choppy and changey, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but when I'm watching DVDs, the last thing I want to worry about is administration. I mean, I'm not very good with administration like on projects that I actually do, so I wouldn't...
The streaming services, they've made us so lazy.
Yes.
Because, I mean, there was the whole thing about the remote control, meaning we'd never have to go over to the TV and press a button or switch a dial again.
Yeah.
And then there was the VHS and the DVDs and stuff where you'd need to swap those over.
Yeah.
And now we don't even have to do that.
No.
We literally do not have to move to operate anything.
I at the moment, I watch most of my TV on a computer in my bedroom. on a telly. And I've got a wire.
The computer is on the television.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, it's a picture. I've basically stapled a picture of a computer to the television. It works terribly, but I feel advanced. And I've got a wired mouse. And I've just ordered myself a wireless keyboard and mouse. So I need never move from the prone position when watching stuff on the computer via a telly in my bedroom. So that's the depths I've gone to. Quite often, Steve, I enjoy watching Seinfeld on Amazon Prime.
You don't say.
Shall we do that now? Because I've got a computer right here with a web browser, and it's open on Season 2, Episode 5, The Chinese Restaurant. Shall we just dive straight into The Chinese Restaurant?
Yes, let's.
Okay, so I'm all queued up. 4 zeros. And I'm going to press play. Should I do a countdown?
Let's just click it.
I'm gonna press it now. Go. Here we go. And we're off. A little bit of observational comedy about making calls on a payphone. Now,
payphone is ringing and asking for money.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is the whole thing where you used to have to use a payphone. Now, if you're a millennial and you're watching Seinfeld for the first time and you've not used a payphone before, they were phones that were left in the street to stop too many people, because they were a public resource and they didn't want too many people using them. They would paint them with a paint that made them smell completely of urine. And that would stop people spending too much time in them. So you can only ever make like really urgent calls on
payphones. Calls.
But this episode being prior mobile phones is kind of crucial to the whole way this particular episode works.
Indeed.
Now, should I... Actually, the first thing that we should know, from there's only 3 of them.
Yes.
Kramer doesn't appear in this episode at all. Which is, I think, because he was so home-based at the time, I guess it was hard to get him out, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it also makes sense that the 3 of them are going out to see Plan 9 from Outer Space. I think they're on their way to see
that. That's right, yes.
And they've stopped at a Chinese restaurant.
So a Chinese restaurant with a big lobby and then the outdoor of the kitchen by that lobby.
Yeah, a really...
That's a strange design.
Really inefficient. It's almost like it's been designed specifically to be on television so it looks busy at all times.
Yeah.
So, George, another girlfriend for George?
George is a good starter, but not a finisher when it comes to relationships.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He's very charming in the early days. I was going to talk about his reason for why things are complicated, but he doesn't.
That comes up
immediately,
later.
Yeah. But it might be my favourite. Okay, so we've already established a time pressure. There is a time pressure around them waiting for this table in a Chinese restaurant. And George is already getting ready to get himself into a really painful, awkward social situation. Righteous indignation and rage. But it's mad.
See, now you were talking about the urgent call situation with the payphone, and even though I would imagine that wall is probably of a urine-free odour, George has an opinion that these public resources must only be used briefly for brief conversations.
People would look down on people who chit-chatted.
Yeah.
Although it's a public resource for certain commerce revolved around the payphone. I remember a tale of a payphone that was outside a Kentucky Fried Chicken in the town of Eastleigh that was almost exclusively for the use of a local drug dealer.
Mm. Slightly out focus camera there.
Yeah, you do get that from time to time in Seinfeld. Fuzzy focus. Maybe they're busy or the cameraman was tired.
Maybe that was their best take.
Yeah. It is remarkable, actually. Now you mention, see, I've never been to a Chinese restaurant in America, but do you think it's like normal for them to have such large non-dining areas? Because surely you could get more tables in there. I mean, there's easily enough room.
You're either
see all of these people are waiting.
If your area is that big, then you have either you would have a bar there maybe.
Yeah.
To help generate some income for that space, or you're expensive.
Yeah, it's not earning money, is it, that space?
One would almost imagine it was designed that way so the camera could get to places.
Yeah. I like the Maitre D's character is slowly starting to... He's got a wonderful arc that I enjoy a great deal.
Yeah, so you were saying about that, you know, that there's a time pressure that's set up. We've also on top of top of that, it's not just that they all have a movie to go and see, but Elaine is consumed by her hunger, and George is absolutely driven to distraction over needing to speak to Tatiana on the phone. So there are these additional kind of individual pressures which are piled on top of that,
all working together to create anxiety for everyone other than Jerry.
Again, Jerry is the least bothered. He's quite laid back about having to wait. It's no
he's
big deal
bothered
to
by
him.
Nothing, but then, you know, we were talking to a friend of yours the other day about how they're all completely loathsome people. George and Elaine are loathsome because of their impatience. Jerry's loathsome because he gives no shits about anything at all. So George and Elaine care too much. He cares too little.
Yeah. And isn't necessarily the kind of person who would be like, well, hang on a minute, do you think you're being unreasonable?
No. Yeah.
Well, because he's almost feeding it because it's material to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, case in point here. Yeah. She's like, I want to go and steal food from someone's table. Oh, well, I'm gonna offer you enough money to make it happen. Purely for his own amusement. I like George's pocketbook. I love how anachronistic that is. Is it called a pocketbook or is that a purse?
Oh, well, that's not a purse, man. That's
No, but in American vernacular, is a pocketbook a purse? I get confused. He's got a little black book with his poems in, basically, is what he's got there.
He's forgot his bag with the toothbrush and the comb in.
And later on in the episode, Jerry will throw him a bony.
And he's not wearing his favourite satin shirt.
You're listening to Hello, Floyd. I I love how capable she is for it. This
Yeah.
is. Oh, she presents so well, Elaine. I love how joyless this table of diners seem as well.
Excellent voice, voice trying here.
Oh,
She could
brilliant.
have been a great ventriloquist.
Oh, absolutely. Fantastic.
Great.
Maybe it is quite a posh restaurant because that guy's eating in a dicky bow tie. I mean, and that's like in the 90s before dicky bow ties had become ironically trendy again.
Then to the left there, the couple noticed what Elaine was up to, and they were looking at
Yeah.
each other like, "Oh, what's going on?"
That's some good background acting.
Good. They weren't just standing there, kind of just rhubarbing at each other. They were reacting
Fantastic.
to what was going on.
My aunt and uncle were background
Yeah,
artists in
George is going to lose this one.
in the film Goodbye, Mr. Chips.
No.
Yeah. Of course George is gonna lose this one. He's confronted with a strong female character. George is going to get livid and he's gonna collapse completely. Brilliant. See, the thing is, I've kind of done similar things myself. Obviously not as loudly as George.
That impotent rage.
Yeah. But he feels like my spirit animal. That's what worries me about him.
Ah, brilliant. See that when I watched that for the first time and saw that guy come up and like apologize, you could see exactly what was going to
Oh,
come up.
yeah. And he
And it's
was.
one of the first times where you kind of like, for me anyway,
Yeah.
that I had a feeling how George would react, and then he does
Yeah.
that way, and you're like, yeah, that's George.
Yeah. Yeah, until he rages until the rage is confronted, at which case it sort of evaporates, doesn't
Yeah.
it, completely.
Oh, this is the bathroom on the side of the bedroom,
Yeah,
isn't
which is it's such a brilliant explanation as to why.
it?
Naturally, if you're about to have sexual intercourse, you can't be pooing in an adjacent room, can you? But it is one of those it could only happen to George type stories, isn't it? I'm just totally. I love this story. I was
It's a
totally
great
getting
story.
sucked into it. It's brilliant. And I have. I'm guessing, but one has to assume this happened to whoever was writing this particular
Yeah, I would
episode.
think so. That sexual realm line is straight out of Seinfeld as
Oh
well. I
yeah.
mean, that sounds less like George's character and more like something that
Yeah,
Jerry
yeah.
Seinfeld would himself say.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. They skirted around those issues so beautifully to the point where it always feels natural. It never feels like these people are talking in a way that is incongruous to their characters. It's very clever because it's often quite a rude program, this, without.
Yeah, they're doing a very good job
Yeah.
of describing quite an explicit situation in a, you know, a network TV
Yeah,
primetime slot. They've done it very
absolutely.
well.
Brilliant. The idea of George walking out again on this woman that probably is too good for him, yet again. His body letting him down this time.
But the thing with George, and we see this time and again as well, if only he deals with the issue straight away,
Yeah.
everything will be pretty much okay. It's
Yeah.
the fact that he agonizes over it and doesn't act immediately, but
Yeah.
delays and punishes
Absolutely.
himself over it, that he makes those
Yeah.
situations worse.
He probably needed to go when they left wherever it was they were before they went back to the workplace. He should have gone when he first noticed him. There's actually a piece of advice in John Peel's excellent autobiography, The Mangrove of the Marshes, where he says the best piece of advice his father ever gave to him was, when you feel the need to go, go. I know that feeling. See, because I'm someone who enjoys a set meal time. If I'm going out with people to eat, there gets a point in the evening where it is all consuming. The desire to feed. See, now, I know this guy from frequenting Indian restaurants in the UK. There was one I used to go to when I was younger in my hometown, where they were always like, you know, the sort of the older middle-aged confident guys that had this weird friendly racist relationship with the people who are running the place. He is brilliant, isn't he?
That had to be sold in like 20 seconds. Who this guy is, the relationship with the restaurateur, and why he gets preferential treatment.
He's always there. Of course.
Just when he comes into the room and does his thing, you're like, oh, okay, I know that guy.
Yeah.
And that's all he does in this entire episode. And that's all that's written for him.
Yeah.
So, you can't screw that up.
Yeah. Brilliant. I love his description of himself. Very matter of fact. Oh, well, this is a relatable situation.
Oh, the hey you it? Thing. Hey you.
But eventually, though, this scene resolves in a way that I find it very rarely does in real life. Because I've been in this situation, I'm forgetful. I've been in this situation where you get people saying, hey, how are you? You okay? And you can't remember the name of the person. And you get very confused. Never the person I'm with bails me out if I'm with someone else.
Oh, in fact, Elaine's really enjoying it.
Yeah.
She's getting off on this.
Yeah. She does good face.
Yeah. But she's also in control, because now she's doing the wingman thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're finding the name out.
Yeah, yeah. Lorraine. Although...
That's a busy phone back there.
It is a busy phone, but it's a busy restaurant. You know, they've got a lot of people hanging out.
And the woman with the dark hair and the fringe keeps swapping seats. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, well,
I want to be in the shop.
She likes to... In later series, actually, there's people in Monks who I believe were competition winners.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I think it was a charity thing. Let's say it was a charity thing. So his excuse for why he couldn't go to Uncle Leo's? Or he just says his uncle, doesn't he?
He just says his uncle, but yeah. I mean, I guess we could assume it's Leo. Uncle Leo.
Hello! And yeah, the woman, of course, being one of his colleagues. So
now his cover is playing.
Yeah. So he's got a reason to be unhappy now.
So a couple of things just to note here.
Yeah.
Right. Way before this point, it's clear to me that this is one of those single set episodes.
Yeah,
it's all set in one place. This is the first time that Seinfeld has done this so far.
Yeah.
But also, that whole thing up until that point is really long as well. No stand up breaking it up.
No,
just the whole thing is in the restaurant.
Yeah. It's kind of it's the first show about nothing show, really. Nothing happens in this episode. It's 20 minutes of people hanging out in a restaurant. I mean, like, you know, the situation is they're getting angry because they're waiting, but so they're getting desperate and they're going to
But there's also the dogged determination at this point to stay.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Not to go, oh, this clearly isn't working, let's go and grab a bite to eat somewhere else. Although that does come up shortly, actually. Yeah. I'm burying the lead there a little bit. But because already at this point I'm thinking, just go somewhere else.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But which is funny because it's so relatable.
Yeah.
You know, we've all been there. I like the idea of George at the roller derby. I don't know why, but I just, it appeals to me. See, now I'm quite familiar as well with the negotiation of the, you want to do something that's slightly socially questionable, and then having this argument with your friends about who's going to be the one to do it.
Mm. You've got the deepest voice, you go and buy the cans of beer.
Exactly, yeah. You're tallest. This is played perfectly.
Yeah.
He knows what's going on. You can tell he knows what's going on. He's a sly devil.
Every trick in the book.
Yeah. Okay. Sea bass? I don't.
Okay, you want to give me money? I'll take money.
Yeah. Brilliant. So I like the fact that the woman George had the argument with is in a party now that's been seated. It's all. There's a lot of care taken in terms of the background artists and what's going on behind them. I like that very much. Although there's a kind of like a little antechamber behind them that's screened off. I wonder what the deal is with that. Is that, I don't think it's tables. Is it an extra special secluded area for people who are waiting? Like a VIP waiting area.
It would be odd if it were tables.
So Jerry has to go and clean up the mess. And the guy's still playing it completely straight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brilliant.
That's nice.
Yeah. Oh well, we did that. Fantastic. It gives him relationship with Var. Oh, fantastic. 5-10 minutes maybe. Brilliant. So now I've worked in the hotel and restaurant business. That's standard
of
course. Practice.
You want to keep them with you.
Yeah. 5-10 minutes in my...
That's a waiting area back there. There are people sitting down. One's got a drink there. Someone's looking at their watch.
So much wasted space. Oh, here we go. So the emergency bargaining begins.
Mm-hmm.
Their night is already ruined, isn't it, at this point?
Sky burger. In a cloud bun.
Yum, yum, yum. Right.
Yeah.
Now, to this day, whenever someone says anything loudly that you can't quite understand, Nikki and I, my wife, will say, "Cut right! Cut right!" That has become... a joke within our own family. Brilliant. Brilliant. So, I love how little care he gives to the fact, I said the wrong name, but whatever, you know, doesn't matter, it's your fault. So that's it. That's that relationship done.
Yeah.
A poo and a mishearing of his name.
To be honest, in that kind of situation, there's no clawing back from that, is there?
No, you're done.
You handled it badly, and then trying to explain the situation just really is pretty disgusting.
Yeah, he knows his hole is too big. There's no getting out of it. He's never going to be talking to her again.
No.
She's just going to end up, he's going to, maybe in 2 or 3 years' time, they'd be full of rage and resentment that it was her fault somehow, but... I love that. And that's why he wants...
Well, that's your job, Jerry.
Yeah. But that's why he wants his friends to go with him to the movie, not to watch the movie, is so he can make sarcastic remarks to them.
And then the most obvious punchline coming up.
Of course.
But it would be weird if it wasn't there, though, wouldn't it?
No, absolutely. You've got to end the episode with the guy saying their table's ready. It almost feels weird, doesn't it, having the stand-up at the end now?
Just two, bookending the show.
Yeah.
And one about the phone and one about hunger.
Any sartorial comments? I mean, it's very...
Are we talking about his outfit?
Yeah. Just because we
wear a tie, buddy. If you're going to do that top button up, Retire. I mean, I was just as bad as that in the 90s, to be honest.
Oh, see, I've always had quite a fat neck, so I've never been a top button tire upper.
Well, tire that's upper. A stern face.
It's a face. I'm not quite sure what it is. So there you go. There's the Chinese restaurant, Steve.
The Chinese restaurant.
Which, I believe, since we started watching this, again, wait till the Chinese restaurant, wait till the Chinese restaurant. I've been building it up quite a bit. Given that I was building it up quite a bit, how did you enjoy the Chinese restaurant, Steve?
I liked it.
Good.
There are episodes which have probably made me laugh more than that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I very much enjoyed the fact that it was in one place.
Yep.
It was... I mean, they're all quite focused on things. There are throwaway lines here and there, little bits going on, but there's always like something that's going all the way through, and it's quite tightly focused on that. Lots of stuff in the background, but essentially, really, only a 3.5 character story. Bruce becomes more of a thing towards the end.
Yeah.
In that sense, quite economical in mm-hmm. using its resources and in the story it's telling. Yeah. I quite like that. And we were talking about Mr. Cohen and the thing with Bruce, but like they're both really, like, as characters, well written, well performed. They have a function to perform, and they have to, you know, it's like that. You have to get so much across in such a short space of time. But it all works really well. You get them and you get the relationship and the issues that they're causing and stuff with our main character. So that's pretty great. While watching it the first time, it was probably one of the better episodes in the second season.
Yeah.
At showing, not so much Jerry, because again, we were saying he's just kind of like hanging back a little bit and watching what's going on more than anything, but about the neuroses and the hang-ups that George and Elaine have, and that and the kind of the sense of entitlement that they carry with them as well. But still, somehow, despite that, them being ever so slightly likable. And I think that's because it's about the dynamic of their friendship and their relationship that kind of excuses that.
They have just enough fun for them to be relatable and likable.
Sure, yeah.
The thing where he bets Elaine to go and steal some food off of someone's plate. And it's the glee and the joy. They're doing something dreadful, but the glee and the joy of the group is played so well. It's infectious and you like them because you want to be part of their gang that's doing these terrible things, because they're just nice. They're likeable in that way, but they're not nice people at all. I think is the point I was trying to make. Yeah. I think I just about managed that.
Yeah. So, fun.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's one of my favourites. Mm-hmm. I love the Chinese restaurant a lot. As I say, the Cartwright thing has become part of family folklore. so I kind of enjoy it for that as well. It's one of those episodes, there are points of it, I must admit, where you feel, oh no, this is going to last a while because it's in one place. And I still get that feeling at the beginning of each watch, actually, is like a traditional dread from other sitcoms I've seen that are a single set and often get boring or maudlin or, you know, conventional sitcoms, the single set thing will always have a time of reflection where two of the characters are really thrashing out, you know, some deep emotional stuff. None of that in Seinfeld.
There's too much going on.
Yeah, exactly. It's so busy. Mm-hmm. Considering there's nothing happening, it's a really busy episode. And it's, like I say, it's almost the purest form of this idea that it's a sitcom about nothing. It's just about people living their lives in New York, and it was kind of revolutionary at the time. Anyway, that was the Chinese restaurant. We hope you enjoyed watching along. I think, is there anything else you wanted to note? I think all that remains to be said is thank you for listening, and we'll speak to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.